The song at the first of the service this morning from David Dunn called I Want to Go Back. That's the song that inspired this series of sermons. Last week we talked about I want to go back to when Jesus was bigger than my problem. That's why we have the big Jesus up here. And we talked about David and Goliath and how that Goliath came out and seemed so massive. But David come and said, listen, you come at me with your sword and spear, but I come at you in the name of the God of the armies of Israel, and my God is bigger than yours. And had victory, and we had a great service and great time last Sunday morning. Today, I want to talk for a few minutes about, I want to go back to Mama's cakes. Does anybody have a mom that cooked cake? My mama... Mother, if you're listening to this, I love you. My mama had a couple of cakes about three of them that I just love. One of them she stole from my grandmother. My grandmother makes she used to make it from scratch. Now her and all the rest of us just make a regular box yellow cake. And you just make a yellow cake, but you mix and make a chocolate sauce with cocoa powder and sugar and milk. And you make this chocolate sauce and you put that piece of cake in a bowl. It's got to be in a bowl. And then you pour the chocolate over the top of it. Better when it's nice and warm. Every time I went to Grandma's house, there was a cake sitting there for me. Sitting on top of the dryer, that's where she'd put all the cakes. Mom, Dad had a pie. Mom had a pie, a flavor of pie she liked. Dad had a flavor of pie he liked. And I had a cake. It didn't matter when we went. There was always one sitting on the dryer. And my mother started making that because she knew I liked it. But my mother had another cake she knew I liked. She would make a coconut cake. Two-tier. Nice white icing, fluffy, thick icing. Covered with coconut. Oh, I loved it when she made coconut cake because I love the cake. But I also love the fact that when she would make coconut cake, she would buy a bag of coconut, shredded coconut. It's got sugar in it with the coconut. You know what I'm talking about. And she had put that in the refrigerator. Now, most of y'all know my testimony. I never drank, smoked, cussed, never did anything like that. Never dipped, never chewed tobacco. But man, I chewed my share of coconut. Because when Mama make a coconut cake, I'd go in the middle of the night. And I'd seen all the commercials watching TV. I'd take that coconut and I'd take a pinch and put between my cheek and gum. And chew on that coconut all night long. Woo! Love some coconut. Coconut chew, man. I went to play baseball one day and tried to take the coconut with me. My mom says, no, you're not taking that coconut with you to play baseball. The other cake my mom used to make was a Bundt cake with lemon-flavored Bundt cake with lemon-flavored icing poured, drizzled over the top of it. Man, makes me want some. I love. And did some other stuff, but the food that I remember that I loved in my mother's was the cake. I loved the cake. Now, some of you can relate to that. As I begin to talk about it, some of you begin to think about a specific kind of cake your mother made, and you're like, oh, and now you're sitting here going, wish I had that cake. I'm sitting here right now going, man, I wish I had a bag of coconut. But anyway, but today I want to talk a little bit about, I want to go back to Mama's cakes. I want you to open your Bible. Amen, amen, amen. 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to begin reading in verse 8 through 16. Reading for the New King James Version today. I asked Beth if she had one. She did. So I'm preaching from my wife's Bible today. I thought it was appropriate on Mother's Day. I'm preaching from a pink Bible. Should have had this last week when I was wearing a pink shirt. Anyway, 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning in verse number 8. Reading from the New King James Version, it says this. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise. A widow, and he called, please bring me a little wine in a pot, and he was born, so he said, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear and go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for your power. Lord, I thank you for your promise and your provision. And Lord, I ask that as we go through this service, Lord, open up our hearts and open up our minds to see how much care you give us. Lord Jesus, let us taste the flavor of Mama's cakes. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning, I want to spend a few moments talking about Mama's cakes. Now, I've heard this story preached many, many times. I've preached this story many, many times. I often preach a sermon that ends here because I often preach about Elijah being fed by the ravens and drinking from the water brook. Oh, we all... and get pure, clear. And then he causes nature itself, the ravens, to bring him food. I always picture that as Elijah sat in a chaise lounge next to the brook with a cup of water dipping in, and the ravens would come and bring him trays of food here. And he didn't have to work. He didn't have to do anything. It was all provided. But the Bible says in the first part of chapter 17 that one day the brook dried up. Have you ever been in that place where God was providing and then all of a sudden it stopped? How dare you, God? You know why the brook dried up? It wasn't to challenge Elijah. It was to bless the widow at Zarephath. Sometimes your provision has to dry up so that you can be the avenue of blessing for somebody else. And one of the problems but when he gets to Zarephath, he meets this widow woman. Now, we don't know a whole lot about why she was a widow or how old her child was, but I believe her child would have been fairly young. And she was in a bad place when Elijah met her. And as I begin to read this story, I begin to see some things about moms that we don't always talk about. Can I be honest? I hope so, because that's what I have to be. Sometimes on Mother's Day, we don't address the issues. We don't lay it out there. Your mom was great. Well, not the case for everybody. Sorry. I've known people told me, I can't even understand when you talk about a good mother because it's so foreign to me. Sometimes we get up here and we say, Mother, and some of you are in here and you're a mother. You feel incapable. We talk about the strength and the stability. And then you hear people like me. And I get up here and I tell you about a loving mom that played with me. Spent her time with me. When I was living in Columbus just a few years ago, 2007, 2008, and our finances were so tight that we would not turn on the air conditioner in our apartment because we couldn't afford to pay the utility bills. And so it would just get extremely hot. My mother would be in Sykeston, Missouri, in a house provided by a church that had no problem paying the electric bill. And she would turn the air conditioner off. She would get in her prayer chair, and in the heat of the summer, Dad would come in and she'd be sitting there sweating and crying and praying. And Dad said, why don't you turn on the air? And she goes, if Tommy and my boys, because I'm not her boy anymore, if Tommy and my boys have to sit in the heat, I'm sitting in the heat. And she sat there and prayed for me. She would do anything for me. I put it on Facebook today. She has prayed for me. She has corrected me. She has spoiled me. But most of all, she's loved me all my life. And sometimes you hear that, and you get this idea that I have this perfect mother. And you say, maybe my mom wasn't that, or maybe I don't know if I'm that. And I think a lot of moms get depressed on Mother's Day because they worry. I'm going to tell you, I've known a lot of mothers that worry. Am I doing enough? How do I make this work? I know a lot of moms that carry the weight of decisions their children make. Mom, let me tell you something. Once your children grow up, you are not responsible for their decision. They're an adult. You're responsible to love them, pray for them, care for them, but you can't make them do right. All you can do is model it. And I think so many times on Mother's Day, we create this idea, and I understand it. We're trying to show that there are good mothers out there, and we're trying to show what you can attain for. But sometimes, especially on Mother's Day, I wish I could be like that mother. We've done Mother of the Year. Last year, year before last sometime. And we talked about the great things that Connie Chu had done as a mother. To be honest, it makes some people look and go, wow, I'm not that good. We create this envy. Today I want to do something different. I want to look at real life. I want to look at a real life mother struggle. First thing I want to look at that I see in this story, Mama felt like a failure. Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but I bet there's a few moms sitting in this sanctuary right now that have come times in their life as a mother and they felt like a failure. I want us to put ourselves in Mama's shoes here for a second. This Mama Zarephath, I don't know what her name was, she is the mama widow of Zarephath. Mama Z. Mama Z had lost her husband. Mama Z had lost income. Then there was a drought and a famine came. There was nobody to fix it. There was nobody to work it. Her child was too young. Mama Z had to go to her child. Come on, Junior. Where are we going, Mama? We're going to go out here by the gate of the city and we're going to gather some sticks. Because I'm going to cook us a cake. Mama, I like your cake. But son, there's something special about this cake. Because Mama can't fix it anymore. And we're going to go gather these sticks and Mama's going to make a cake. And then you and Mama are going to sit down together. And we're going to sit there until we starve to death. Mama's put yourself in that shoe. Mama felt like a failure. I can't even provide for my own children. I can't do this. You see, this is where a lot of moms are today. Maybe it's not food, but there's some moms out there spiritually. I can't do this anymore. I don't know what else to give you. There's some moms out there emotionally. They have nothing left to give. And that's not bad enough. But they feel like the only option is to wait. Mama felt like a failure. Now let me talk to you for a second. Moms, dads, as Pastor Anna said earlier, not the mama, not the daddy. I got a word for you. You may feel like there's no hope. You may feel like you're a failure. But God's got a promise coming.
Yes, He does.
God's got a way out coming, and it's not going to make sense. It's not going to, all of a sudden, I look here, and Mama's out gathering the sticks. She's a failure. I do not believe she was happy. I'll make it and die. And all of a sudden, here comes Elijah. Sort of gruff kind of guy, the way I've always pictured Elijah. He walks in. He sees her. Probably in tears. I know that if my wife was gathering sticks to make cake, to eat it and die, she wouldn't be crying because she has a hard time crying. But, of course, gathering sticks would be interesting too. But anyway, sorry, I had to go there. She was probably crying. She was probably upset. Or, because when mamas get stressed, they don't cry. Do it now. Become mama, but don't try to do it. They get grumpy. How many of you have seen mamas grumpy? See my mama grumpy, and I've seen my boy's mama grumpy. And I think my boy's mama may be grumpy by the end of this service, but anyway. She may have been grumpy. Done everything I can do, and now I got to die. And here comes Elijah. Excuse me! What? Could you go get me a cup of water? What's wrong with you? You got a bone in your leg? Get up and go get your water. Come on now. That's what some of us would have done. I got a couple mothers going. You get up and go get your. But instead, yeah, she starts to go get water. I can get water. And then, Elijah. Son, let me talk to you for a second. Elijah, that's mama. You got to be careful around mama. Mamas can be mean. Here's Elijah. Hey, while you're at it, bring me a piece of bread too. Peanut butter. Somebody said peanut butter and jelly. Well, while you're in the kitchen, you ever done that, husbands? You ever been sitting in the recliner? You go get me a soda. Yeah, baby. While you're in there, can you make me some? Or you want? I'll stay. Here's a light. Never. Give me a drink. I can handle that. Why are you there? Why don't you fix me some bread? Now, I want you to understand two things he asked for. First thing he asked for was a drink. Now, that was harder than you might think because they were in a drought. It took more work to get a drink than normal. They were, because of the drought, and fix me food. Ooh. Mama had all she could take. Mama turned around and mama said, I can't do it. Mamas, you ever said, I can't do it anymore? I can't do it. Do you understand, Mr. Who? That I'm not just picking up sticks for my health. But I come by here, and me and my son, I've got a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil, and we're going to make some bread, and we're going to eat it, and we're going to die. I'm about to die, big boy. Because I ain't got a man around to take care of me. And as hearing you talk, I don't think I want a man around right now to take care of me. And how dare you? I really believe this is what was in her mind. But I want you to see somebody else in the conversation. There's her son. Mama's given everything, and this guy comes asking for stuff. And mama just broke down. I can't do it! Maybe I was wrong in the story. Maybe she hadn't told her son yet that this is the last cake. Maybe she had kept that from, because sometimes mamas do that. When we endured 2008, Anthony was 13, 14 years old, I guess, 13. Michael was 10. Anthony was just old enough, Anthony sort of understood what we were going through. He sort of understood there was no money. He sort of understood that things wasn't going well. Michael, on the other hand, Michael was just young enough that he wasn't seeing some things. Here's what Michael saw. Michael saw that Dad wasn't always the pastor anymore. So sometimes Dad had more time because he wasn't pastoring. What Michael saw was that because there was no money, Dad would do different things with them because I couldn't afford to buy them things. So Anthony's 12th birthday, I took him and let him drive. Actually, he would have been younger than him, been about 11 when he was going through that. Because when he turned 12, his 12th birthday gift was I took him to a church parking lot and let him drive the car for the first time. Now to Michael, that was so cool that when we got to Michael's 12th birthday, we still wasn't out of it yet, but we were getting better, and all Michael wanted was to go drive the car. What Michael saw is that we had a guy that come to us one Christmas, and he called me to meet him in a parking lot. And he gave Beth and I a Christmas card that had a gift in it. And then outside of that Christmas card, he handed me two $100 bills. He said, I want you to go tonight, and I want you to buy gifts for your boys, and I want you to put your name on them. Anthony quickly figured out he knew where it came from. Michael didn't understand. All he knew is he got a good Christmas. See, Michael reaped the blessings but didn't always know the pain. Like the year that the Wii was the wave, and we had, that was during the time we had no money. And a family shows up at our door and handed our boys a Christmas gift. And when they opened it, it was a brand new Wii. We were poor as Job's turkey. Matter of fact, Job's turkey was pretty rich to us. I don't know how much money Job's turkey has, but he must have been pretty poor. And Michael's getting the best gift going at Christmas because of God's blessing. And Michael, we've talked about it as Michael got older. Michael was sheltered through these things. This boy may have been sheltered. And yet, all of a sudden, Mama's just went off and said, I can't do this. Do you understand? We're going to eat these cakes and we're going to die. We're going, what, Mama? That's not good. Mama said, I can't do it. But then something changed. Elijah looked at her and said, listen, you do exactly what you said, except first make me a cake. I struggled with that for a long time. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you got to do something first for somebody else before God can bless you. Sometimes you got to take care of somebody else before God can take care of you. This boy began to watch his mama. You know what he saw? Mama was obedient. This guy said he was a man of God. And he said that if mama would take care of him first, that we'd see a miracle. And this boy watched as his mama obediently went, gathered those sticks, and made a cake. I have up here these cupcakes. And every mother at the end of church, I want you to come up and I want to give you a cupcake. But you know what the prophet said? He says, make this cake. Why don't you give it to me first? He's not a mama. I'm giving him the first cupcake. You know why I'm giving him the first cupcake? Because I couldn't take it myself because I can't eat it and preach at the same time. Sometimes you give the first away. There's a tithing principle there. Tithe is our first fruit. And if we can't learn to give God what is first and be obedient in that first giving, how can we expect the blessing from the rest? Let me tell you something. This little boy watched as his mama was obedient and gave the first away. He watched as she was not just obedient to what he said, but she was generous. She said, listen, I know we're going to die. And I still haven't seen this miracle you're talking to me about. But here's your cake first. Here's your cake first. I got news for you. When you'll trust God enough to be generous with God. Oh, Pastor, this is a Mother's Day sermon, not a financial sermon. You know what? They all go together. Because the reason we struggle is because we're not obedient nor generous. But when you become obedient and generous, then this is the last thing that the boy saw. Mama's cakes were life. The Bible says that just as the prophet has said, she made cake after cake after cake after cake The flour bin never got any more shallow. The oil never ran dry. One more drop. Yep, still there. But did anybody catch this when I read it? So her and the prophet and her son ate for many days until the famine was over. She did not just accept the blessing and the generosity from one time, but from that point on, through the whole feast, she fed the prophet out of the same thing that God was feeding her. Every day that little boy sat, and every time he sat down to a piece of cake, he remembered what Mama said. And for him to say Mama's cakes were life, it didn't mean that they were great. I bet there was a day he goes, I got to eat cake again. I know that sounds crazy. When I was pastoring in Van Wert, Ohio, one of the first dinners we did, I made a big deal about how much I love pecan pie. And all of a sudden it became like a challenge for everybody to make a better pecan pie for pastor. And they would come to the dinners, and three ladies in the church would make pecan pie for every dinner, because that was my favorite. But they would all make two of them, and they would bring me one at the house and take one to the church. And I promise you, for the whole time we were there, like, I always had pecan pie or two or three at the house. I still like pecan pie, but you have yet to hear me go, man, ladies, you need to make me pecan pie because I've had pecan pie forever. Let me tell you something. Even though there were times he got tired of the taste of the cakes. When that young boy grew up, and you can go and read, in the next passage he dies, and Elijah brings him back to life. But when that boy grew up, Mama's cakes were life. I want to go back to life. I want to go back to when Pastor Anna, it so flows in what you talked about today. I want to go back to the place where it's not the songs and the lyrics and the lights and the music and the sound system. I want to go back to where it's just life. No, I didn't say I wanted to go back to a style. Come on. I want to go back to life. Yeah. I don't care if it's chocolate, vanilla, or red velvet. You're not a mama. I want to go back to the place that is life. Yes. I want to go back to the place that it's not just about the flavors. It's not just about the style. I want to go back to the place. That's finger looking good. I want to go back to the place. Where it's about the obedience and the generosity and the miracle. Church, I want you to hear me today. Mothers, I want you to hear me. Some of you are sitting in this place and you think, I'm not the kind of mother you're talking about. I'm not the kind of mother that I should be. I'm not strong enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not stern enough. I'm not loved enough. I'm not caring enough. My personality's too harsh. My personality's too soft. Quit worrying about your personality. Quit worrying about your flavor. And be obedient. And be generous and be blessed. When we quit worrying about Beth is not the softest woman in the world. We're going to pay for that one later too. Beth is, as I call her, a stinking Yankee. See, she gets that look. She's bouncing that foot. She's straight to the point. But I'm going to tell you something. She's always been obedient. I'm not talking about me. She's always been obedient to God. She's always been generous. She's created two boys that are as bad as we are, that they will never have anything because they give it all away. Anthony and Michael both just give. Why? Because that's what they saw their mama doing. For years, we always had somebody living with us. Every time I say, nobody else. Nobody else. Then we move here. Michael comes to church one night and somebody says, hey, you got a place to stay? Michael goes, come to our house. 6 weeks later, we finally got him out of our house. Why? Because that's what she taught. Mamas, quit comparing yourself to other people. Quit comparing yourself to the strength or the weaknesses of your mama. Quit comparing yourself to the mom down the street. Be obedient and generous with your sticks, your flour, and your oil, and let God take care of the rest. I've preached from the day I've got to this building. God's got this. Mama, that's all you need to know. God's got this. And He's going to carry you through the battle. He's going to carry you through the fight. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You right now. Lord, I thank You for Your power. I thank You for Your strength, Your mercy, and Your grace. And Lord, I ask that You would send victory into our hearts.